greetings to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for calling today. I want to ask a question. Who is the blessed man? Who is the blessed woman? What does the blessing, the blessed woman or blessed man look like? What is it? How does it look? What is it like to be blessed? I think we all want to be blessed, but what is that? What does it look like? Is it having a big house with plenty of rooms, maybe a nice garage, maybe even a swimming pool out back, and having a barn with horses and maybe a few llamas and maybe some sheep or some cows? Or what does a blessed man look like? Maybe having all your water so you don't have to, you know, you don't have to go through the city to get your water. Maybe it's having your own well and having a tower so that it can be gravity fed to your house. Maybe having a windmill that pumps your water for you. Is that what it is to be blessed? Maybe not to be hooked up to the grid of electricity. Is that what it is to be blessed? What does a blessed man or woman look like? Is it to have plenty of food, having all your crops do well, having the produce and all of those things just flourish, and you have plenty to eat, plenty to sell, plenty to make a living? Is that the blessed man? Is that the blessed woman? Is it to be in health, good health, where you're not limping around, you're not in pain, you're not sick, there's no cancer, there's no heart problems, you have plenty of strength? Is that the blessed man? Is that the blessed woman? Maybe it's to have plenty of friends and no foes, no enemies, nobody persecuting you, nobody saying that because of your Christianity, they're not happy with you and things like that. Is that the blessed man? Is that the blessed woman? So what is it to be blessed? What does it look like? Well, in Psalms chapter 32, we read, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile." So God says the blessed man is the one whose transgression, whose sin, whose iniquities are forgiven. Is your iniquity forgiven? Is your sin under the blood? Is it covered? The next part of that verse, it says, whose sin is covered. And it's not being, it doesn't mean covered up. It doesn't mean like hidden or like forgotten about in the sense that, that's okay. You can just, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. You know, it's still there, but it doesn't matter anymore. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about covered. Covered by the blood of Jesus. And now this was before Jesus was crucified, was living on this earth. But all of the blood of the animals that were sacrificed, that blood was their payment for their sin. That animal had to die, and it was all a picture, it was all a type of what Jesus Christ would later do and hang on the cross and die for the sins of the whole world, not just those who came after him, but also those who came before him, saw the blood and obeyed the commandments that God gave through Moses to have these blood sacrifices. And even before Moses, Abel gave a blood sacrifice way back before Abraham or anybody, before Moses. So, blessed is the man. Blessed is he whose sin... Sorry, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That's what it is to be blessed. You know, all this prosperity, all the things that go well for us, if our sin is not covered, if it's not covered under the blood, if we live a happy, healthy, prosperous life here in this world and our sins are not forgiven and we die and go to hell, what profit is it? What does a man gain if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? All of these blessings that I talked about, swimming pools and houses and maybe whatever it may be, horses and lands and food and all these things. No, that's not being blessed. To be blessed is to have our sins forgiven, to have our sins covered. That's what it is to be blessed. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. He's not reckoning, he's not counting our iniquity. He forgives it. It's not there anymore because it's covered under the blood of Jesus. It's forgiven. And whose spirit there is no guile. It's not something that we think that we have earned ourselves. By our own good works. Oh, how beautiful this is. It's not by works that we're saved. It's by faith, and it's by grace. By grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man would boast. And in this verse it says, and in whose spirit there is no guile. We could be proud, or we could be arrogant, or something that, oh, we have lived a good life, we have kept ourselves from the world, and or whatever it may be, and we're trying to save ourselves by our lifestyle or whatever, but it's only through the blood of Jesus that we could be saved. And so, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. That's what it is to be blessed. Oh, I want to be blessed. I want to have all of my sins in the past forgiven, and I believe they are by the blood of Jesus, and I want to have all my sins in the future, that I would walk with the Lord, but if I do slip and fall, if I do sin, that they could be forgiven through the blood of Jesus, and I would quickly go and make things right, that I wouldn't let things harbor or hide or start growing in my heart, but I would make sure that my heart and my life is clean before the Lord by getting it under the blood, that precious blood, that cleansing fountain. We sing about those things, but is it reality in our lives? Verse 3 says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And I think what this silence was that he wasn't confessing his sin. He wasn't making it right. He wasn't, he was hiding it. He was covering it up. He was trying to avoid it, and he was trying to get away from it. Verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. There was conviction there, but he was putting that conviction off and saying, oh, it didn't really matter. Things are working out okay. It's not a big deal, but God's conviction was there over and over again. But instead of putting it off and saying, oh, it doesn't matter, he ended up saying these words. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So it's confessing our sin. It's getting it right with the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. It's not just good enough to confess our sin and say, oh, I have done this bad thing. I am a wicked sinner. Lord, forgive me of my sin. And then go on and continue in that sin or go back to it again. It's he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsakes those sins shall have mercy. And that's what I want, and that's what I want for you, and that's what you need, is to have your sin forgiven. And it's through the blood. It's when we confess, when we agree with God and say, yes, I am this wicked sinner, and I repent of that, and I want to follow you now, no matter what it costs, no matter what it means. I don't see what it means for the future. I don't know what it's going to be, but I'm going to trust you. I'm going to turn from this thing. I'm not going to live in it anymore. I remember a time when I was in Philadelphia witnessing. It was on a New Year's Eve. We were there as a group, and we were passing out tracts, talking to people. And I talked to a man who was a religious man, in a sense that he went to church. He told me he was a Roman Catholic. He went to the Roman Catholic Church. And he was there. He was in the bar, and he'd been drinking, and he was very drunk. He had a lot to drink. But he said to me, he said, who are you? You're just a man standing here talking to me. My priest and my who I go to confession, he tells me that my sin is forgiven. If I just confess my sin, my sin's forgiven, and that's all there is to it. And I can come back, and I can, you know, do these things, and then as long as I confess my sin will be forgiven. My sin will be forgiven. And so I go to confession regularly so my sin can be forgiven. And he just goes back to the same thing all the time. That's not what forgiveness is, my friend. God isn't playing games. Forgiveness of sin comes through repentance, which is a turning from sin, and it's a forsaking of sin. It's not just confessing and then doing it again, but it's forsaking it. And that's different in a lot of situations. For one, for drinking, it's one thing, and for other things, for stealing and lying, and if it's stealing, you need to bring the thing back. You need to make restitution and different things. So, so that's the blessed man. That's the blessed woman, is to have our sins forgiven. Well, we could go on. There's a few more verses, but I think that's enough to chew on today. And I just leave you with that question. Is your sin forgiven? It can be. It can be forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you want any help in that, we would be happy to help you, to share more with you and to make it even clearer. Maybe it's not as clear as it could be for you. Maybe you have some questions. Please leave a message in our voicemail. Just press 99 on your phone. It'll bring you to our voicemail box. You can leave a message and push the pound key after you're finished so that it saves. Well, it'll actually then ask you to press 1 to save it, but you have to press the pound key after you leave your message. So, God bless you. Don't continue in sin. Don't continue hiding it, but confess it and get it right, because I want you to be the blessed man and blessed woman whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. God bless you.